WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hamas is speaking for the first time since its leader, Yahya Sinwar, was killed Thursday by Israeli forces. A top Hamas official says they will not return hostages until there's a ceasefire and an Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. ABC News contributor and former Assistant Secretary of Defense Mick Mulroy said Sinwar's death could reopen ceasefire hopes.
I think the U.S. and potentially Israel do view this as an opportunity to try to restart a ceasefire negotiations, which had effectively ended until this event, and see if they can't get somewhere without him in the way.
President Biden's in Germany for a day of meetings, while in the U.S., 18 days to Election Day, both former President Trump and Vice President Harris campaigning in Michigan. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it's investigating the full self-driving system in about 2.4 million Teslas after reports of crashes in low-visibility conditions. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More families in Wisconsin are taking exemptions for routine childhood vaccinations than most other states. The state immunization program says about 85% of Wisconsin kindergarten students are up to date on their measles, mumps, and rubella shots. The national average is closer to 93%. Voting rights groups are ramping up their efforts after young adults in Wisconsin got intimidating text messages about voting. Molly Carmichael is a recent college graduate and a member of the League of Women Voters.
Right off the bat, I was pretty upset because I figured this was also going out to other people, maybe people who have never voted before and are excited to vote this November. And so getting a text like that would certainly be really alarming.
Critics say the intent is to scare young people into not voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris spoke at a rally at UW La Crosse yesterday, one of three stops in Wisconsin as she campaigns ahead of the general election in November. Harris, who spoke in La Crosse back in April before taking the top spot on the presidential ticket, also appeared in Milwaukee and Green Bay on either side of the La Crosse rally. The three stops mark her sixth visit to Wisconsin since the summer and the first appearances here since speaking on October 3rd in Ripon. The election is November 5th. Tonight is the Wisconsin Senate debate between Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde. Both candidates have been making multiple appearances across the state in recent days, with Baldwin in western Wisconsin for several stops early in the week. It is one of the most expensive races for U.S. Senate in the country, with polls showing the race getting closer as November approaches. You can listen to tonight's debate on the free Civic Media app on WMDX and several other stations on the network. For Civic Media News in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Bucks preseason ends with a loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Dallas 109-84. Doc Rivers, playing a lot of his younger players, what did he think of watching Giannis and Damian Lillard coaching the rookies?
I loved it. I loved it. I just think we got so many young guys on our team. The way they can be taught right is by obviously the coaches, but really the players. And when we have a group of guys that are invested in our young guys, I think that's going to pay dividends.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers play the Houston Texans Sunday, featuring quarterback C.J. Stroud. The Packers have 17 takeaways this season, the most in the NFL, thanks to new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, who says they have a team meeting called The Ball, where all they do is talk about turnovers.
We're talking about it each week. It's not just talk. It's not like hearsay, like, hey, we're going to attack the ball and be good at taking away the ball. We've dedicated a whole meeting to it. When I was in San Francisco with the Niners, Kyle had me do that meeting every Thursday for 2 years.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and still windy today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon with winds south at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low 70s. Then on Sunday, sunshine with a high back into the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Here's another 107.5 WLAK community reminder. Purse Bingo. To benefit, the Halos of the St. Croix Valley will take place October 19th at Doughboys Bar and Grill, located in New Richmond. There'll be raffles and much more. Any questions? Call Melinda, 651-235-7786. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, my guest for Freaky Friday is Racine paranormal investigator Ron Helmick, who brings actual audio footage of a ghost. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr stops by.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And hey, good morning to you, Luke. How you doing, man? You look like you're still in one piece.
I'm still in one piece, Earl. Thank you for noticing.
Well, Sandy, he's burning the bridge at, you know, at both ends, but I guess it helps to be a youngster when you do that, right?
Yeah, it does help to have a little youth. I won't lie there, but I took a nice, well-deserved nap in the middle of the day yesterday and then just kept burning the burning the candle on both
the
ends.
The candle. Yeah, burning the candle.
But how about you, Earl? How are you doing on this Friday morning?
Oh, come on, man. You know, I'm with Sandy and I'm with you, and we've got a lot to talk about. It's 18 days outside of what clearly, you know, we've often heard, Sandy, I've been around for 11 presidential elections. You probably been around for 12.
13.
But anyway, it's often been said, oh, by the way, if you don't know by now, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm out here in Boston, actually, for this big rowing regatta. I coach boys rowing, and we've got a crew rowing and something called the Head of the Charles, which if any of you have seen The Boys in the Boat, the movie, this is what that's all about. And this is the biggest event in the world that involves rowing.
Well, I got to tell you, man, I envy you because you're still coaching. And I miss coaching so very much. You know, you do that for decades. And being with those young people and the impact and the excitement and energy, it's something that's hard to replace. I haven't been able to replace it. You know, going back and seeing sometimes when I go back to my football league, I just, you know, I think.
Well, I've been with you, Earl, walking around and have people come up and talk to you and tell you, you know, talk to you. And they're kids you coached, you know, long ago. But, you know, it's true. When you're coaching, you have an impact and a relationship with kids that's unique.
Oh, yeah. But I miss it. You're still doing it. So I have to live vicariously through you.
If yeah, that's all. Get a life.
But anyway, Sandy, what is the music going to be like today?
It's about rowing, actually. It's kind of silly stuff, actually. I went to the books to try and find some stuff that relates to rowing, and lo and behold, I found some. But I don't think any of them were big hits. Let's put it that way.
It must have been difficult to find so many songs about rowing.
Yeah, and none of them are "Row, Row, Row Your Boat," which would have been the most likely. Yeah, we could have the three of us. the three of us could do that in cycle, right?
We yeah, you got to do a round. Yeah. Just yeah, somebody start, and we yeah. just keep going.
Yeah, for the whole show.
Luke is old enough. Luke is old enough to remember row, row, row your boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think happened to row, row, row your boat? That's still a song. What do you mean?
I'm only funning, man. I'm joking.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sandy, so much to talk about today. You know, at 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Nick Ramos with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. But until then, Sandy, we're 18 days out, and there's nothing humorous about Donald Trump and what the things Donald Trump is talking about, Sandy, in his second term. And people need to beware. You can talk about Donald Trump as your man, and you love all the things that he's talking about. But in today's Wall Street Journal, Sandy, a second Trump presidency stands to radically remake world trade. Tariffs could rise to its highest level since the 1930s. Anything from global trade war to a U.S.-led system against China could be the end result. So educate us a little bit, Sandy, if you will, as we hear Donald Trump making these promises, not threats, of what he is going to do if he becomes president of the United States again to, you know, again, make America first and make America stand alone in the world. Go ahead.
We should all remember that Donald Trump, as a businessman, bankrupted 10 operations. This is not, in spite of his assertions about business shrewdness, he's never demonstrated the capacity to make sound business decisions. The president does have a great deal of power with respect to tariffs. And tariffs can have a profound impact on an economy. I think all economists agree that imposing tariffs across the board will slow down the GDP growth rate of the United States. We should all remember the tariffs that the Wall Street Journal is referring to in the 1930s are something that everyone has always referred to as the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, named after the two U.S. senators that sponsored them. The Smoot-Hawley tariffs imposed in 1930 have been credited by almost all observers, all historians, all economists, as having had a substantially negative effect on the U.S. economy, to the point where they took what was a deep recession and turned it into the Depression in 1930 because of what they did to the economy in terms of increasing prices and slowing down the GDP growth rate to the point where it went negative, substantially negative, more negative after the imposition of the tariffs. I mean, the problem with Donald Trump's notion is that it's radical, okay, very radical. And this notion that he can use tariffs as an alternative to taxing Americans is number one fallacious, because tariffs are a tax on Americans. They're like a sales tax, and they aren't just imposed through the tariff goods that are imported. They increase the price of everything so that Americans will pay a higher price for every kind of good, whether it's produced in the United States or not, if it's competitive with a tariff good. And it's a very radical proposal. The Wall Street Journal is trying to distance itself from Trump's financial policies and is very worried about it. The articles most recently have all highlighted the dangers that are created by, number one, across-the-board tax reductions that are inflationary, number two, across-the-board tariffs, which are both inflationary and have the potential to substantially reduce the rate of growth of the GDP and don't offset the revenue reductions that are caused by the tax reductions he's talking about. So, you know, this is an illusory promise. He's going to impose tariffs. He says it'll be a tax on foreign countries. It's not. It's a tax on the importers and the people who pay for imported goods. And he says it'll pay for his tax reductions. It won't. And it will clearly, by almost all prognostications, reduce the rate of GDP and probably be a precipitator for a recession.
So Luke, you're a very young guy when you stand next to Sandy and I, and when you hear what what Donald Trump is talking about. And the more I read about this and the more, Sandy, it's out there and Luke for everybody to see, either Donald Trump is ignorant or Donald Trump is clearly leading people to believe that he's the smartest man in the world. It's one or the other. Luke,
it could be both. It could be both, Earl. He thinks he's the smartest person in the world, and he's ignorant.
So Luke, your thoughts as a young man when you hear, an educated young man, and you don't know something about tariffs and those kind of things, and yet you hear so many people willing to support Donald Trump. Do you think it's because they don't understand the aspects of what it is he's talking about doing?
Well, I think tariff is a foreign concept to a lot of folks. They don't understand what a tariff is. They don't understand that a tariff is a tax, that a tariff is something that other governments will put then. If we tariff, as Sandy pointed out, other governments are going to react. And so the manufacturers, these mega businesses that are making money hand over fist as the inflation rates soared over the last couple of years, corporate profits had never been higher. And so these corporations that are making money aren't going to just eat the cost of those tariffs. They're going to pass off those tariffs onto us, the consumers. And I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding what that is, because they're like, oh, he's going to slap a tariff on it. That's like a Band-Aid, and it's going to fix all the problems. And they're not in they just don't understand what tariffs are. And so it is very frustrating, Earl, to hear when people use solutions or quote unquote solutions that folks aren't familiar with, that all of a sudden they think it's going to solve their problems, when really it's, as we've seen economists around the nation say, it's just going to make things more expensive. It's going to raise the cost of about $4,000, raising the cost for middle-class Americans because of this tariff policy, if it gets implemented.
Sandy?
Well, yeah, and what Luke just said, you know, the fact is that America doesn't do this in a vacuum. And other countries will most likely impose, just as what happened in the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, other countries impose tariffs on American goods as a counterbalance, because some people have said these tariffs are just there to create a negotiating leverage on the part of the United States. And we are a very big economy, and we do have quite a bit of leverage. But all the other countries in the world aren't stupid, okay? And they're run by reasoned people, and they will impose tariffs on American goods for the very same reason, which just creates an escalating problem. The tariffs on American goods reduces our exports. The tariffs on foreign goods reduces our inputs. It isolates our economy and makes all of the business, the main businesses in America, rely upon the growth of their business within America, right? It creates boundaries, artificial economic boundaries. And American industry that's looking for rapid growth is not looking for rapid growth in the American economy. It's looking for rapid growth in the world economy. And so isolating America through tariffs is just a very negative outcome.
You know, Sandy, I was listening to Donald Trump again on yesterday, and he was saying that he's going to force these foreign companies to build their products, make their products in America. And he's getting standing ovations. So 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and Luke sitting in for Calvin. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The willowy sway of the hands away.
And the water boiling aft.
The elastic spring and the steely fling
that drives the flying craft.
The steely spring and the musical ring of the blade with the biting grip.
And the stretching draw of the bending oar
that rounds the turn with a whip.
And the lazy float that runs the boat
and makes the swing quite true.
And gives that rest that the oarsman blessed
as he drives the blade right through.
All through the swing, he hears the boat sing
as she glides on her flying track.
And he gathers aft to strike the craft
with a ringing bell note crack.
All right, and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy, the music.
Well, yeah, that was that's actually from the American Cancer Society, but it's a poetic bit of music that was about rowing, and I'm out here in Boston for this big rowing regatta, so I pick music that relates to it.
So before we go to the phone lines, let me read this paragraph from the Wall Street Journal this morning, and it's, in the first term as President, Donald Trump resurrected tariffs as a tool of economic diplomacy, regularly deploying them as a lever to extract new trade deals from other countries. The result was a world trading system with a bit more friction, but it remained largely intact. If Trump carries out what he described on the campaign trail, his potential second term would be radically different, more than just a tool for negotiations. Higher tariffs would be an end unto themselves. By one estimate, tariffs would reach their highest level since the 1930s. A new Trump term may assume that the global trading system of the 20th century is not sustainable, said Orrin Cass, founder of American Compass, a conservative think tank. So Sandy, let's go to CJ and, you know, and hear from somebody who supports Donald Trump, who thinks that Donald Trump's ideas are somehow going to be beneficial to the American people, Sandy, and then we'll certainly give you an opportunity to, you know, give the other side of it. Go ahead, CJ. Good morning.
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I love hearing you guys talk concern about tariffs, that those costs are going to be turned on to the customer for the product or the services. But those are costs that businesses outside of the country are going to have to pay. But you don't care that VP Harris promises to raise corporate taxes on American businesses from 21% to 28%. You champion those costs, and those are American businesses, and those are going to be turned on to American customers, and that's going to cost American jobs and American businesses. So, yes, Donald Trump's economy, and everybody knows it, including black men and women that are going to vote for him. And you know it, Earl. You laughed at me the first time I told you that. And you
Hold on, CJ. Thank you very much for the call. And yeah, CJ, I'm laughing at you because if you and Donald Trump and Republicans are counting on black men to put Donald Trump over the top, yeah, I am laughing at you and Donald Trump. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, let me just say that CJ has drunk the Kool-Aid from Donald Trump's discussion, because, well, how he described the operation of tariffs, how CJ just described it, is absolutely incorrect, okay? A tariff is not imposed on the company in a foreign country that's exporting goods to the United States. A tariff is imposed at the point of entry into the United States, and a tariff is imposed on the importer, okay? And so the way this works is when someone is importing something from China, for instance, at the port of entry, the importer pays the tariff. Now, they might try to negotiate with the exporting company and try and get the exporting country to reduce the price of the product by enough to offset the tariff. But in the last go-around that Trump had, the answer of the exporting companies and exporting countries was typically no, okay? And so the price of the good to the importer goes up by the amount of the tariff. Now the importer, which is an American company, has to try and cover itself by passing that cost of the tariff on to the consumer. And in large part, they succeed in doing that, okay? So one of the problems with Donald Trump's policy is that he is fooling people like CJ into thinking the way CJ just expressed it, which is to say, hey, a tariff is kind of nifty because it's a tax imposed on foreign companies in foreign countries. It is not. And that is not the way it works. And that is why a tariff as imposed and as discussed by Donald Trump ends up acting like a sales tax imposed on American consumers.
So, Sandy, let me ask you, because since it's a global economy, and since there are American corporations intertwined with foreign companies that are overseas, you know, how does that work? If you know, there are many partnerships, right, that American companies are tied into with foreign companies. If we're talking about issuing these tariffs on, you know, what do they do, separate who gets the tariff?
Well, what happens, first of all, is that almost every American product involves parts that are imported from foreign countries. And if you put an across-the-board tariff on all imported things, then those parts that are imported to become parts of American products bear a tariff price or cost that is then in turn going to try to be passed on to the consumers. And so it's like a value-added tax in that respect. It gets imposed on every piece of product that gets put into a final retail product. You know, the whole notion of tariffing everything as being this kind of nifty way of taxing the rest of the world doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. And in fact, it has a chilling effect on the growth rate of the GDP and has always historically. And the historical fact is that the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, which were imposed for very much the same kind of reasoning, had a terrible impact on the American economy.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is warning Wisconsin supporters of what she calls the serious consequences if Donald Trump returns to the presidency, especially since the U.S. Supreme Court granted Trump broad criminal immunity.
Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails, right? He who has vowed, if reelected, he will be a dictator on day one.
Harris was in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay yesterday. A bail hearing today in Manitowoc in the case of a couple from Two Rivers now charged in the death of her 3-year-old son. Elijah Vu went missing in February and his body was found last month. Katrina Bauer is charged with chronic child neglect causing death and obstructing an officer. Jesse Vang is charged with child abuse and hiding a corpse. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Fire danger is high across western Wisconsin again today. The DNR is enforcing burn bans in many areas due to dry conditions caused by a lack of precipitation the past month and the drying of vegetation this fall. All of Wisconsin is experiencing moderate to severe drought or abnormally dry conditions. Today, it will be windy and warm across the state, creating ideal conditions for wildfires. There have been 14 wildfires this week across the state. You can visit the DNR's website to see the most recent dashboard. A fire at a downtown Rice Lake building destroyed several businesses yesterday afternoon. The Rice Lake Fire Department said that at 3:40 p.m., over 24 firefighters were sent to a building on East Messenger Street, pulling in additional crews from other fire departments and police as well. Down power lines, a broken gas line, and wind gusts made the job difficult, according to a release. Four businesses were housed in the building, which is considered a total loss, and one firefighter was hurt. For Civic Media News in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Headed to the theater this weekend? Only a few films open in wide release, but two of them are re-releases. The first one is Back to the Future Part 2, starring Michael J. Fox. Many people think the second installment was better than the original and is much better than the third one. The film is being released in honor of its 35th anniversary. Another re-release hitting the screens this weekend is Hocus Pocus. The 1993 film stars Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. Although critics were lukewarm on it initially, it did very well with audiences and has great performances by its cast. If you're up for some scares, check out Smile 2, yet another horror film that is so far anyway critically acclaimed with an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if you're lucky enough to live in a town where a theater is showing Goodrich, you can check out some good old-fashioned comedy drama starring Michael Keaton. The film is not yet reviewed, but could be the perfect recipe if you're tired of being freaked out all month. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny and still windy today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon with winds south at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low 70s. Then on Sunday, sunshine with a high back into the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World wraps up with a week in review of the lighter side. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
as I roll, 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 going so slow, slow, slow. Just down below me is the old sea. Just down below me is the old sea. Nobody knows, knows, knows so many things, things so, so out of range. Sometimes so strange, sometimes so sweet, sometimes so.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, your music.
Well, that one didn't have a lot to do with it, but she uses the term. She talks about rowing in the old ocean. It's all about rowing. I'm out here in Boston for a big rowing event, so that's what it's about.
So we're talking about Trump's ignorance when it comes to world and global trade, and he challenged an economist the other day, a world-renowned economist, and told the man that he didn't know what he was talking about. He's always been wrong. The inherent dangers with a man like this and the people who support him, who once he gets in office, it's too late. So I think it's important that we kind of, you know, today, Sandy, with your understanding of tariffs and those vast understandings of that we kind of put this thing in the proper perspective, especially right now. And let me do this before we go to the phone lines. Trump plans remain shrouded in uncertainty. He has called for an across-the-board tariff of 10%. Later suggesting 10 to 20%, and at least once even said 50 to 200%. He has proposed a tariff of 60% on goods from China or maybe more. He has also proposed reciprocity or U.S. tariffs that match those of its partners that should spare Mexico and Canada, which under the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement negotiated in Trump's first term, don't charge tariffs on the U.S. So let's do this, Sandy. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Oh, hello. Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. It's pretty challenging with we're spoiled listening to the show on the phones here. I'd like to say about the tariffs, there's a couple of things. I think, you know, obviously it's to me, it seems like Trump is pretty much just playing on xenophobia. It's all about that, like hurting someone else. And he's just putting it out there because obviously economists have squashed it. And anybody that knows about this stuff is saying it's foolish to do and it's going to hurt our economy and hurt individual families and Americans. So I think that's the focus on that, because they really don't have a better plan other than trying to bilk, you know, all the other departments and people, you know, for his rich friends and corporations. But I'd like to actually make a point really quick, go back to the idea of the shiny object in press coverage about this election being black men, and that possibly there's some sort of shedding of black men for Kamala Harris. And what I'd like to think is what I'm noticing is that they're absolutely ignoring and deflecting from the idea that at historic levels, women and particularly white women are leaving the Republican candidate. And the percentage of white women in this electorate is, I believe, even three times that of black men. And the percentage they're leaving is a larger percentage. So I think they're really trying to get people to not focus on the fact that white women and all women in general are fleeing the Republican candidate. And it's going to have a much larger impact than if, say, 15% of black men voted for the Republican candidate. And so Eric, that's about it. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah. Eric, as always, very sage information. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to Eric?
Well, not with respect to the polling. I'm not really privy to polls and don't have a sense exactly of how it's going to go. I have my fingers crossed as to what the trends might be with respect to the various demographics, and I'm hopeful. But with respect to the economic policies, I do think that Donald Trump is just constantly looking for the silver bullet that he can talk about vaguely, all right? But the fact is that he demonstrated during his presidency that he was willing to use the tariff, and it was irresponsible. The notion that gouging, that hurting China is going to be good for the American economy is belied by the fact that financial analysts today are very worried about a recession in China because of the negative impact a recession in China will have on the U.S. economy. The fact is we're intertwined, and the process of untwining us, okay, the process of undoing that will be damaging to the American economy. And the ultimate isolation of the American economy with fencing it off by tariffs ultimately will damage the American economy, because the growth rate to be accomplished by American businesses, if it is confined to growth within the American economy, is not very robust.
All right, let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what? Go ahead, David. David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, so if you go to Europe currently, today, you will not see hardly any American cars in Europe. And the same thing is happening in China because of tariffs. Europeans have put enormous tariffs on our products. And China is essentially doing the same thing, but they're also China is heavily subsidizing their end of things to try to sell. I mean, they're going to be selling the cars over here, Chinese cars here soon, even with 100% tariff, which the Biden administration enacted on September 1st of this year on aluminum, steel, batteries, all coming from China. That's already been implemented. And at the end of the day, what it is with these tariffs are being, it's basically a tit for tat. The problem is America is losing that at this time because the policies have been implemented by the other countries for quite a long time. And you know, we'll see what happens, but I don't think the Europeans will be very happy or the Chinese will be very happy if we keep battling, because we still are the biggest consumers on the planet. So I think it could be basically like a tariff war, if you want to call it, between the countries.
Is that a good thing, David?
Well, that's where we're headed to.
No, I'm asking.
You have to look at it this way. It's been in place for quite a while. And that's why American jobs are having trouble selling American products across the globe, because they're killing us with tariffs right now.
Let Sandy respond. Sandy, go ahead.
Yeah, let's speak to that. First of all, no economist opposes selective tariffs on particular goods and particular products. Some of those tariffs are there to protect the industries for national security purposes. Some of those are reciprocal tariffs to respond to tariffs that are imposed by other countries. We have imposed tariffs on imported goods from imported automobiles for quite a while. Most of the foreign automobiles, the ones with foreign denominations on their hoods, are actually built in the United States. So, you know, you buy a BMW, any BMW SUV you buy is built in South Carolina. So, you know, all these foreign plated cars that we're buying in the United States, many of them have more American content in it than the Ford car or the GM car that you buy that's got lots of foreign goods materials in it, including Chinese, Mexican, and others. And so this is not something that can be talked about in such a simplified fashion. And I'm afraid that the problem that Trump is going to create with his simple outlook on this of across-the-board tariffs, not single tariffs on particular products that are the result of some particular policy, but rather just an across-the-board tariff policy, will be the initiation of a tariff war, just as you described, which is exactly what the Smoot-Hawley tariffs did in 1930, which is exactly what exacerbated the depressions, not just in the United States, but across the world.
Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Earl?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we're showing that right now by getting out in record number of votes. So please, everyone, continue to get out the vote. Also, in terms of the economy, there's one figure that we all need to remember. Since 1989, there have been 51 million jobs created. 50 million of those jobs have been created by Democrats. 1 million have been created by Republicans. That's a real strong fact. It's by the Joint Economic Committee. And it's, you know, it's just, come on, people, realize that the Democratic Party is someone that believes in investing and believes in infrastructure and believes in building things. The Republicans like to put, you know, wars on a credit card and then, you know, they put it on a credit card.
So, Tom, what are your thoughts about the, you know, the tariffs?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, it's basically a tax that is on other countries, which then comes back and hits us because most of our products that we buy are from other countries. I mean, it's just the bottom line.
Just to correct you, just so you use the correct term, Tom, it's not a tax on other countries. A tariff is a tax on American importers, okay? It's a tax on people in America who import goods from abroad, and they pay the tax at the port of entry. So we're falling into a trap by using...
That's going to kill our small businesses. Small businesses are never going to be able to survive with that kind of tax coming in from import. I mean, that's absolutely insane. And Earl, I just want to say one other thing. Breaking news, Bret Baier had to come out and say that he did not do the interview the other day with Kamala Harris, where she was very presidential. And he had to correct the record that he did not show the right clip of Donald Trump. And also Donald Trump said this morning on Fox, because I saw the clip, that they're going to destroy the Department of Education. Believe him when he says what he's going to say.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to complete your thought?
Well, it's just that this notion that a tariff isn't a tax on American consumers is just fallacious. And particularly in across the board tariff, like the one that Donald Trump is talking about. Furthermore, the notion that a tariff tax is going to replace and is going to create so much revenue flowing into the American government coffers that he will stop having deficits, when in fact his proposals, net of the value that might be attributed to it from the tariffs, is going to increase the federal deficit in the neighborhood of $6 to $7 trillion over a 10-year period.
You know, Sandy, I've read something that said it might even be double that. But
the double that doesn't credit any new additional revenue from tariffs. And there are economists who believe that in the long run, the shrinking size of the GDP as caused by the tariffs will in fact mean that there won't be any additional net revenue generated from tariffs. So it could be it could be a $10 trillion or $11 trillion bill that the American government pays in terms of additional deficits.
We the people, as Tom likes to say, will be the ones paying that. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Guys, hang on the phone line. You're tuned into a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Sandy, you never cease to amaze me. With you know, the music that you choose. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. I mean, it's Friday. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about boats and rowing, you know. And when you're racing in a racing show, you don't want anyone to rock the boat. So that's where that came from.
Let's go to, we're talking again about the tariffs that Donald Trump is proposing. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what, sir?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. What a beautiful, beautiful Friday morning. I like to celebrate good things, beautiful things, like a beautiful Friday morning. So anyway, thanks for taking my call. And on this beautiful Friday morning, I want to remind people that negotiated trade deals can be and often do create a win-win environment. So, you know, if we have the right people in place and we negotiate our trade deals for this world economy that we seem to be caught up in, a lot of times it works, and it works well for both nations. And at a time, guys, to where, you know, we've seen significant income growth over the last couple of years. We've seen America totally come out of the blocks of COVID and just perform like a shining star. For the rest of the world, they're envious of where we're at. So, number one, our economic forecast in their predicament that we're in, it is not a dire one at all. I'd say, frankly, we're trending in a really good way. What is certainly at risk is if some person comes in who doesn't know what they're talking about, but has the attention of so many people and have their own, at the same time, media outlets talking their talk for them. They come in and they talk crap about something, whether it be tariffs in this case or so many other things. We can destroy this whole tariff platform that the right wingers are throwing at us and making us, you know, digest, even though it isn't true. That's my thing. It's you know, enough of this. Let's get truth to power. Let's talk about the gains and keep those strategies that have gotten us out of COVID and put us in such a wonderful position to you know, spring forward and do so well for so many. So on a happy Friday, again, we're smarter than this. Don't get caught up in this doom and gloom. The doom and gloom is if the other team wins.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. We've got Manny Perez, former Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, on the line. Good morning to you, Manny. You say what, sir? It's good to hear from you again.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your audience.
Your thoughts?
I wanted to share a couple of thoughts in relation to Harris' proposal for the middle class tax cut, assistance with housing, with the buying a house, and worker training, in contrast with Trump's proposal.
Manny, let's do this. So because we're up against time constraints, why don't you leave your number with Luke, and what we'll do is we'll set a time next week where we've got enough time to give you to go through all of those things you're talking about. A couple minutes is not going to be enough. So we'll make sure we carve out a time for you next week, if that works for you. All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Sandy, you want to respond to what Mike was saying?
Well, yeah, I think I would just use the words of that song that we played at the break, Don't Rock the Boat. You know, the economy on a macro basis is doing really well. And what Mike mentioned is absolutely true, that the guidance from the Biden administration bringing us out of the pandemic recession was very effective. And Wall Street has all said, look, we've accomplished this soft landing. What we don't need to do is something dramatic, like completely adopting a changed basis for revenue and to throw all kinds of monkey wrenches back into the supply chain and all kinds of monkey wrenches back into the general commerce. What we do need to do is address the problems faced by Tom, Dick, and Mary. And those problems really relate to benefits and the cost of their benefits, the cost of housing, the cost of healthcare, the very programs that Kamala Harris's platform is talking about. Donald Trump is just trying to talk in broad bases. It's all based on a trickle-down concept of tinkering with the tax code and thinking that tinkering with the tax code is going to have massive benefits to Tom, Dick, and Mary, when in fact, all the proof is that the tinkering with the tax code has only had massive impacts on the accumulation of wealth by the wealthy.
Sandy, let me ask you quickly. The more Donald Trump says these things, does he have people with knowledge around him who can say to him, hey, this is not right? Or is he just totally dismissing those with knowledge and just saying the things that he's saying?
Well, I think he listens only to those people who come with the quotation expert category, who are saying things he wants to hear. So, for instance, Peter Navarro was his primary expert that guided his tariff policy. Peter Navarro is a maverick. Okay, he's not a mainstream economist, and you know, for that matter, isn't really a mainstream thinker.
All right, 855-752-4842. Up next, we're going to be joined by Nick Ramos, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, on a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with Sandy Williams.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Dom Salvia.
Matt Rothschild subbing in for Dom Salvia on the next show. I'll be joined by firebrand Scott Ross, who's always fun to listen to. I hope you'll tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.